Let each be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's God's standard. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So when I just zip it. Why? Because I'm training my emotions to God's standard. Do I feel like it? Nope. I want to yell. I want to scream. I want to get mad. But I've got to retrain these things because I heard his standards and it's time for me to tune up to him.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when a person receives Jesus Christ. But although we read the Bible, join Bible study groups, and attend services, we may still get discouraged, at times even a bit depressed, and our emotions can get in the way of us living a victorious Christian life. So what do we do about these renegade emotions? Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message entitled Considering and Correcting.
There's going to be times I need to go and sit and say, I need to listen to counsel. I need to hear God's word. I need to accept the disciplines. That's his standard. And I just tune everything up. I don't care what my old life feels and how I'm sort of inclined. I tune up. Is it easy at first? No. At first, all discipline is not joyful, but sorrowful. It's tough. But for those who have been trained by it, training my emotions and my feelings to delight in the things of God, what's right and honorable. Those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In fact, to just hear the tuning fork and not match up, God says you're going to develop foolishness. In fact, let's read the next one. Go. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Yeah. So is it always easy? No. Sometimes I just tell my mind, don't think that way. And I find myself drifting in thought. Stop. Don't think that way. Think this way. And some people say, in fact, the businessman said, but that's like denying yourself. I said, yeah. Doesn't the Bible say, if anyone's to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and what? Follow me. Yeah. And after a while, when you train that way, it doesn't seem real nice, feels foreign, but you do that for a while and it gets, after a while, like, that's me, that's natural. That's who I'm supposed to be. And you can never go back the other way. But you've got to train your emotions. And if you don't, you can hear that fork, that tuning fork all day long. But if you don't tune, you're still going to be dissonant when it comes to playing in an orchestra. You're fine in the corner. But whenever it comes to relationships, you'll bomb out every time. It's sort of like this. Watch a concert pianist. Watch how natural this person is. I mean, this person can just move his fingers on the keyboard. And it's like what comes out is Mozart at its best, you know. It's just like, wow. And you watch any great athlete that's practiced and trained, whether it be golf or tennis, or whatever it might be, baseball, they make it look so easy. Just amazing. But where does this concert pianist have the freedom to just move his hands anywhere and it sounds like great? Where does this freedom come from? Was it birthed out of looseness? No, it was birthed out of discipline. When he was sitting there and his teacher says, no, the posture of a great pianist is like this, not slouched. Okay. And your hands have to be like this and work it like, oh, my fingers don't work that way. No, you just keep it up. Keep it up. Yep. Change. Yep. Get that voicing right. The fingering right. But I don't want to do it. No, you just do it that way. Why? Because that's the standard. That's how you do it. That's the best. And I promise you, as you keep doing it, you will find that your best will come to pass. Because your best will be released. Or freedom comes not from looseness. It comes from discipline. And sure enough, after a while, you'll find that this person is just like anything he does. It's like a freedom takes place. And he's enjoying it. What was it birthed out of? Looseness? No. Discipline. Discipline. You see that in tennis. And they make it look so easy. And you think, I can do that tomorrow. That's easy. No, it takes discipline. And the same is true with training your emotions. It's not easy at the beginning, but stay with it. And you'll be surprised after a while that what you used to delight in that God didn't, now you've retrained and you start to delight in the things of God. Your emotions actually change and you start to delight in the things of God. And your whole being is tuned up to God's standard of truth. But it doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come in just looseness. I was watching this home run derby once, these great National League baseball players, pro players, just bang, they're hitting it over the fence, bang, and they're pitching it, bang, and I looked at that and I thought, anybody, I can do that. Look at that, so easy. Man, it looked easy, bang, and they're just hitting them over the fence. I thought, are they getting millions of dollars for doing that? That's easy. Well, I thought it was. Because you look at stuff on television, looks pretty easy, basketball players and stuff. Easy, easy. Anybody can do that. That's why we become great armchair quarterbacks. You should do that. I can do that. That's stupid. Why didn't you look back before it hit your helmet? You know, just all of these things. I thought, I can hit the ball over the fence. So one of these times, I was in Japan, and they had this tremendous kind of state-of-the-art batting cage. And so I went down there, I thought, man, I'm going to hit some balls, this is cool. And so I went down there, and what I noticed was these machines, you could actually dial in the speed that they projected that at you with. I mean, they had you wear helmets and all kinds of things. And I thought, for what? I knocked this thing out of the park. And so the attendant comes by and he said, what would you like me to set it at to start with? 50 miles an hour. Now, when they pitch in the National League, it's like between 90 and 100 miles an hour. But you watch, it's like, easy, get them with that, get it. So I thought, I can do that. So the guy says, hey, you want me to set it at 50 to start with? I said, 50? 90, 95. He looked at me, 95? I said, 95. Okay, and he puts it at 95. And I got up there, I said, all right, let her rip. He said, I already did, it went by you. Said, no way. He said, yeah. I said, I'll teach you, all right, let her go again. He said, went by you already a second time. I could hardly see the ball. Finally, when it brought it down to 80, you know, it goes by you. You're like an hour late. He had lunch in between already. You know, I thought, this is crazy. Isn't it amazing when the professionals, they make it look so easy. Well, where did that skill come from? Looseness? No. Just stepping up there and swinging? No. It came out of discipline. And that's why when God sets his standard, we have to discipline our emotions that way. Is it easy? No. But you've got to do more than hear. Would you write down, do more than hear? You got to practice. Yeah, practice that. No, I'm not going to think that way. And though my feelings want to get angry, I'll remember James chapter 1 says this, let each be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's God's standard. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Well, that's his standard. So when I just zip it, deny yourself. Why? Because I'm training my emotions to God's standard. Do I feel like it? Nope. I want to yell. I want to scream. I want to get mad. But I've got to retrain these things because I heard his standards and it's time for me to tune up to him. Otherwise, I'm fine alone, but I'll never get to first base in relationships. Because it's a symphony. And so I've got to do more than just hear. I've got to practice. And that's why John 13:17 in the New Living Testament says this. Let's read it. Go. You know these things. Now do them. And this next one is real cool. Let's read it nice and loud. Ready? Go. But look close into the perfect law that sets people. Yeah. And keep attention to it. And do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into, why? You will be blessed by God in what you do. Isn't that a great scripture? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, my word is a standard. It's that A440, and I set it. Now match Now watch this. When I flung the stars into space and I spoke to them, they all tuned up to my word. In fact, Hebrews says it this way. He upholds all things by the word of his power. That's how they stay in space. Now you got millions of tons of matter up there flying at over 6,600 miles an hour. That's how fast Earth is whipping through space. But everything is such precision in its rotation, and it's done that for millions of years because it's synced up to God's standard and everything works perfectly. But you look at mankind where God gives a standard and we reject his standards and we say it's his fault and the Bible doesn't work, and we wonder why all of our relationships are so fractured globally. So there's wars and rumors of wars and hatred and murder. And you know what we do? We blame God. And God is saying, no, I have set the standard. Bing. And you've chosen to not match to that. And you will have terrible dissonance in symphony relationships. But I will still set the standard. And my people will, by faith, hear my word and match up even emotions. And when that happens, here's what it says. There will be a freedom that comes. I love to tell the story of racquetball. When I picked up racquetball just because a friend, you know, introduced it to me. And when I picked up the racket, I just picked it up like a sledgehammer. And so I would just beat on that ball. And I was kind of a scrapper, so I could kind of hold my own. Well, I was in a tournament, and the tournament took place one game or two games a day, every day for the week. And you just kind of beat somebody, and you start playing the winners, and they keep playing to this pyramid, and you see who the winner is of all of them. Well, I won my first match, and a coach, a really good coach, was watching me, and he pulled me aside as I was kind of packing up for the day. And he said, you know, Wayne, if you'll let me give you a few hints, I could double or triple your ability in racquetball. I said, I'd like that. What do I do? He said, well, the first thing you have to do is let me change your grip. He says, you're holding on to this like a hatchet. You're going to war against cowboys or something. And I'm going to change this grip. And he kind of morphed my hand. It looked like, you know, a woman. And I held it like that. And I said, you hold it like that? And he said, yeah. I said, but it feels terrible. He said, no. It's got to be an extension of your arm, not like this, because then you're doing this rather than your whole arm, and you're using your whole, and the force and the power will be so much more when it's a whip and rather than one of these things. And so I said, well, but it feels terrible. He said, just do it. I tell you, it'll work. I said, well, why do I need to do it like this? I can do it like this. I won my first game. And he said, well, that's because the guy you're playing was blind and lame. That's why. But pretty soon, you're going to be playing the winners of the winners. And when you play the big boys, you're going to get killed. So I said, oh, wow. So the next day, he was there. And he said, now, try that new grip now. Well, I went out there, and it was so foreign to me. I went out there, and I got skunked. I got killed. I was out of the tournament. And I said to him, I can't use this grip. It doesn't work for me. It feels foreign. He says, use it. I said, I can't. He says, it'll work. I said, it might work for others, but it's not going to work for me. He says, no, it works for everybody. That's how it's designed to be. They design rackets that way, to be held like that and played like that. It's designed that way. Oh, I said, no way. He said, that's a standard. Match it. And so for the next few weeks, I was playing with that. And it felt terrible. But you know what? After a month went by and a couple months went by, I noticed that it wasn't as foreign anymore. It became like, hey, I like this. And boy, I do a backhand and whap. And I didn't hit it very hard, but it's like it just went bam. Ooh, boy, that's loud noise when that thing hits that wall. Ooh. And I start hitting that thing, and I didn't have to hit it as hard anymore. And it would just scream. And see, the goal, the point of it, the whole game is when it comes off the back wall or the front wall, before it bounces a second time, the opponent has to hit it. But if you can get it to bounce twice, it's a dead ball. You get the point. So the goal is to get it as low as you can on that front wall so it bounces twice in just a matter of a foot, and it's done. The guy can't get it, no chance to get it back, you see? So you're trying to get it really low and lower and lower and lower before it skips, because if it skips before the front wall, then you're done. So you want to hit it real low. Man, after a while, with this new grip, I was just, whap, man, that thing was so low to the ground. Man, a couple of those times, just whap, just rolled off the front. Now I was playing in a tournament. Man, that stuff was going so low. This guy had to go out and buy a spatula to get my ball off the ground. Wow. But you know, at first, it was so foreign. But as you correct everything to it, your willingness as well, correct it to that. What happens after a while, much less force, and everything starts to change. Even though it feels foreign at first, now it's natural. I can't change back to the old way, because that's the way it should be. And you see, God's word sets a standard. You know why? Because he says, this is how I actually created you. But sin has morphed you and mutated you. But if you will go back to my standard, though it might seem foreign at first, that's how I created you, and a freedom will be birthed. And then you'll see the beauty of a symphony that started with discipline. And I'll set my tuning fork, you match to it. And this is my truth. Now watch this, because when you match to that, a freedom will take place, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And here's what he means when he says, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what God wants for every single one of us, to be people where he will stop and say, you know what? The song, this is what the Old Testament says, the song of the Lord is on his people. They've matched to that standard of my word. And I have spoken this to the heavens, and they all match my standard. And look at what happens up there. Now I'm asking you to do the same, but I'm not going to make you do it, because that'll include your faith, your choice to match up. But when you do, music begins, and the Bible says it this way, oh, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then the song of the Lord begins. Let it be a symphony. Amen. Amen. We are going to finish with communion today. And what communion simply is the Lord is reminding us the price that he paid for our freedom and how much he loves us, that it cost him the blood that he shed and his body that was broken. And if your heart is to say, Lord, I accept your standard and the price that you paid for it, so we be free, is outstanding. It's your body and your blood. And as we take communion, all it says is this, Lord, I accept your price that you paid for my freedom. And I will never take this for granted. In fact, he said it this way, as often as you do this, remember me. Don't ever forget. Don't ever take it for granted. So as the ushers will pass that out, would you take one of the breads and hang on to it, pass the tray, take the cup and pass the tray, hold on to it, and we'll take it together. But as you're taking this and kind of just waiting a little bit for everybody to be served, let the Lord reveal to you some areas in your life or instrument that you need to tune up. And even though we don't want to, the Lord may be saying, tune up, tune up. And it might seem foreign at first, but when you do and you stay with it, you'll realize that's how he created you, to function that way. You'll never want to return again. So allow him to speak to you. We're going to pray, and then Naleo is going to come and sing, and the ushers will be passing out the bread and the cup. So would you bow your heads with me? Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, will you please, oh Lord, will you please show us some areas of our life that we need to tune up? Otherwise, we can hear your word every day, read the Bible every day, but there's a second part to that. We just got to tune up. Even though our emotions are fighting, we choose to be a people of faith so that the song of the Lord will be heard throughout the land. Thank you for the price that you paid for that. And as we receive communion, we say thank you for the price you paid in order that we might know the truth, and the truth sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers.
place. My Lord, your presence I embrace. I now call to you as I draw near, for I know that you will meet me here.
Let's just slightly lift them before the Lord. Let's pray as we're all being served. Lord, thank you so much for this bread and this cup and the price that you paid on Calvary to set us free from sin and to give us strength to not only come to you for salvation, but then the strength and discipline to retrain emotions that are renegade and untrained and wild. So Lord, we know that as we come to you, you start us off with salvation. And you give us eternal life that's not determined by anything that we've done or deserve. It's based on what you've done and your deservedness. However, Lord, there's other areas of our life where we do have control over. Things of how we feel, where we put our feelings, where we put our affections, and what we let our emotions do. We choose to train them and set them to your standard, so the song of the Lord will be on his people. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go ahead and take the bread. And then after that, the cup. As you leave, there'll be some receptacles wherein you can put your cup. So please take that with you as you exit, and then you can deposit them on the way out, okay? Let's stand together. Well, it's a joy being a part of this wonderful church. We have fun, we learn, we grow, and thank you for being a part of that. Lord, thank you for your grace on our lives. We love you. Thank you for your life that was given in order that we might have ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank him, would you? One final time. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Considering and Correcting by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening.
Joy to honor you. Sunshine.
you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.